Hi, this is Dave Creer from Valley Stewardship Network. I'm the Native Plantings Coordinator, and I'm so happy for our show today, being joined here by Nick Gilman. He is the Vernon County Forest Administrator.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So you work at Vernon County Land and Water Conservation Department in the building up by the airport.
I do.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, so what's your background? I mean, you and I have talked, you know, dozens of times, but I actually don't know very much about you. So where are you from, and how'd you get into forestry and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, wonderful. So I grew up outside of Onalaska, just a little ways, still within the city limits. And, you know, from a young age, my dad always had us out in the woods doing all sorts of different activities, you know, anything from hunting to foraging. We used to do a lot of archaeological digs. So I had an interest in that growing up as well. You know, the interest in the outdoors started from a very young age, and I went to Luther High School, which is up in Onalaska.
Okay.
Ended up going to UW-Stevens Point with a degree in forest management and urban forestry, as most of us foresters do, right?
Yep.
So with that, I landed a job just before graduation with the Wisconsin DNR doing forestry tech work, running the bulldozer on fires. That only lasted about 6 months, so there's not a lot of street cred there. And then this job came open with Vernon County, and I went for it because it's a little closer to home. Good to start a family. My wife's from the same area, so we landed close to home, which was great.
Cool.
Yeah.
So lucky for us, because you're here as our forester, but you might have been an archaeologist. Who knows,
right?
If you would have gone down a different path.
Absolutely. It was on the bill for sure. I kind of, you know, I was right in between those two jobs, and I saw that forestry probably had a better job placement rate. So I kind of went after that. So
yeah
absolutely.
Very neat. Mm-hmm. Great, great. Hey, so what does your job really entail? What would you say are the big things that you do here as the forest administrator for the county?
So the biggest part of my job is to set up, administer timber sales. What that means is that from a sustainable lens, we go through and we look at the forest and make sure that we're managing it sustainably so that we can have our utilitarian views of the forest land, being able to use the good wood products that we do create in a, you know, regenerative manner. So that's the first and foremost what I do for the county, is to watch over our five county parks, right? So that would be...
Okay, I was just going to ask, because it's the county land that you're really
doing
that for.
Okay. Yeah. So we have, you know, Duck Egg, Kuyumjin, Jersey Valley, Sophia, and Sidey Hollow. Those are the five county parks that I help to manage along with other folks in our department.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, 50% of my job entails private lands visits, right? So I go out and advise private landowners in order to help them manage their woodlot better. And that's free of charge for county residents, right?
Nice.
People can have me come out. You know, I can't mark or set up timber sales for them.
Okay.
But I can go out and help advise and push them in the right direction, you know, when it comes to harvesting.
So if somebody has, whatever, 20 acres of woods out there and they just say, man, it's just woods, I don't know what to do, they can just call you up and you'll set up an appointment and go out and say, here's what I would do if I were you, or here's what I would suggest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. So a lot of the site visits entail, you know, anything from timber harvesting to tree planting. Sometimes they're just trying to get an idea of funding sources, either through NRCS or the Wisconsin DNR. In some cases, county, although we don't have a lot of, you know, forestry-related practices that we fund through the county, but at least I can push them towards those other funding sources that are available to our residents.
And do you, so when you go to anybody's land, not the county land, but a private landowner, are you really working with them to say, what do you want to do with your land? What's your goal as a landowner? Or do you say, boy, this is what I think you should do kind of no matter what?
Yeah, absolutely. So landowner goals play a big part in, you know, how the woods is going to get managed on the private scale, for sure. We want to make sure that we're introducing, you know, proper silvicultural measures always, right, first and foremost. But there's ways that we can kind of tweak the silviculture, still have a regenerative forest, and meet your landowner goals. You know, the common ones we get are, you know, wildlife habitat for recreational value, right? So we want to make sure that we can, number one, regenerate a forest if it's need of a, you know, regenerative cut. while at the same time promoting that recreation that they hold near and dear to their own property. Yeah, absolutely.
So that would be somebody saying, man, I want to hunt deer out here, and I want this to be better for deer, or I want to hunt for turkey, or
I
want to ski through here, or whatever.
For sure. So all of those things really play a big factor in how we manage a woodlot and how we help to manage a woodlot, right?
Yeah.
First and foremost is, you know, proper silviculture, but we can always kind of work around landowner goals for sure.
Yeah. Okay. And silviculture, you said that a couple, that's silviculture is tree, health or tree?
Yeah. Yep. So silviculture is the management of the woodlot. So when you look at a woodlot, you know, what do we want to be managing for, and how can we sustainably do that? So silviculture is essentially the science behind managing woodlots for, you know, the sustainability and for the next generation.
I guess just like agriculture. Agriculture is for ag, right? I guess for farming. And silviculture is for trees.
Absolutely.
Or forests.
For sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you go to somebody's land, maybe what are a few of the things that, so you just walk up, I mean, I would walk up to some trees and I might be able to say, oh, it's a pine tree or it's an oak tree. And that's about as far as I go. Mm-hmm. What are you looking for? And maybe what do you see around here a lot?
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing that we're looking for is species composition. So species composition, meaning, you know, is it mostly oak? Is it mostly central hardwoods? Maybe it is a, you know, a conifer plantation around here. So we're definitely looking into those things, making sure that, because every different species is going to have a different management goal and ways to regenerate it. Every different species has different shade tolerances, different average lifespans, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we don't necessarily look at individual tree management as much as we look at forest management, right? So the holistic view of how the forest is going to interact with harvesting and how it's going to regenerate after the fact.
Okay. Yeah. So you would, you may look at some individual trees. Like I know people refer, I think, is it maples or I can't remember the species, but people talk about a mother tree and it'll be some, you know, just immense tree that's hundreds, it seems like hundreds of years old. I don't know if it really is. And that propagates many, many more young ones. Mm-hmm. So you might say, well, keep that one, but get rid of these 10 over here because they're too shaded or too whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, there's all sorts of intermediate treatments that we do. I already did a lot of talking about regenerative style cuts, right? So that's when you're trying to regenerate new woods, but those intermediate style harvests are, you know, thinnings to promote the growth of what we call preferred growing stock or crop trees. So these thinnings or single tree selections, in a lot of cases, you're trying to promote the financial return, but also you're trying to promote the longevity of that individual species.
Yeah.
So absolutely, there's a lot of times, especially on the county forest when I'm actually setting up and painting trees, you know, for harvest, there's definitely seed trees involved, like you said, a mother tree.
Yeah.
And those seed trees are typically circled in green all the way around the bowl. Those ones are the ones that are going to be staying to, you know, either help regenerate, or they're a crop tree, preferred growing stock. So yeah, all different types of harvesting measures, and that would be considered like an intermediate one.
Yeah.
I also do take, you know, phone calls from individual citizens that are worried about their blue spruce in their yard.
Yes. Right?
So that happens often enough. And I'm more than happy. I usually don't do site visits on those because I would probably never be in the office if that was the case. But yeah, you know, some really great pictures sent to my email. I can always, you know, at least try to diagnose or help to diagnose, you know, some of the issues on the individual tree scale. Yeah.
That reminds me, cause I remember calling you one time cause I knew that you did the forestry for the county, and there was actually a county parcel, not one of the park systems, and there was a tree on it and everybody was worried it was dying. And I thought it might be, and you came out and confirmed it was a larch tree, or tamarack, I think, same thing.
Yep.
And they lose their needles in the winter. And so we didn't have to worry about it, and which saved the tree, which was great.
There you
so
go. Yeah,
that was many of those. There was several of them on this property. So that was great. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you mentioned Kyumjin. I forgot about that county mm-hmm. park. And that, as I understand, that used to be actually a privately, it was a tree farm that just somebody owned.
It was, yeah.
I mean, their own land. And then mm-hmm. somehow it went past to the county. And now I assume you are pretty involved with the management of that park.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it was 1999. It was donated to the county as a county forest, county facility. And that was, actually the same year that we entered into the Wisconsin County Forest Association, meaning that we get funding through the DNR to manage our county forests by, number one, hiring a forester like myself.
Okay.
So Kuyumjin's a great 120-acre parcel down by Lafarge, out on Pine Road there. I do manage the woodland there. We have a timber sale set up down there. It's been a couple of years, and markets have kind of declined, and it's caused a little bit of an issue down there just getting the management done. But I'm pretty confident in the next few months, years, we'll probably get good sound management done on the plantations down there.
Okay. So. And I would, as always, I recommend people get out to all of our county parks. But Kyumjin is a fun one. It's really different because you can go and there'll be just... I couldn't tell you, it's been a while since I've been there, but you can go and walk in a section and it's all the same tree, and then you can go, whatever, 200 yards away, and then it's a whole bunch of the same tree, but a different one. And mm-hmm. So it is a very different experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
But interesting, and you can see hearing different birds in different parts, and you can see different animals in different parts, because mm-hmm. some like pines, some like whatever else is out there, I don't know, but
right.
It is interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely different. So it was an old CRP plantation, which means that they planted conifer trees as a nurse stock, and then they planted hardwood trees into row or every other row in order to allow for those hardwood trees to grow in excess competition, meaning it would create a preferred shape to the tree, right, for log quality, log value.
Okay.
So the issue that we're seeing today is getting the management done on the conifer is difficult because of the markets that we have nowadays. It's difficult to sell pine. So we're trying to release those individual hardwood trees that are in a row in order to, release those.
Reduce competition.
Absolutely, because we're past the point where we wanted the competition. Okay. Now we don't want the competition. We want them to kind of grow to their own devices.
Now. Okay. Yeah. Hey, so you've mentioned timber sales. So I guess maybe without me saying stuff that's just wrong, what's a timber sale and how does that benefit the county and who does the work and stuff mm-hmm. like that, if you want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So a timber sale is just that, right? It's the sale of timber, the timber resource off of a select parcel. So we typically contract with local logging companies to conduct a merchantable sale, right? Meaning that the trees are going to go for use in whatever, the timber company sees fit, right? So we do a bidding process where we have loggers come out and bid, and we typically will select the highest bidder, the one that puts the most money down per species, per 1,000 board feet. And from there, we enter into a contract with that logger. The logger executes the contract. We have all sorts of, safeguards in place, performance bonds and things like that to protect the county in the case of, a lack of zone closure, which means that they didn't finish the job before they left. Okay. And to protect the county for things like our water resources, making sure that they're cleaning up the road system after they leave, seeding it down, mitigating erosion after the fact, and all those good things. So that's kind of a very broad overview of what a timber sale is. So
do you go out as the ahead of time? So you've got a parcel, I assume this is some acres in size. I mean, it's not tiny little areas. Mm-hmm. So do you go out ahead of time and mark what you want to see happen? I want these trees gone, I want these trees saved, whatever it is. And then the people come in and bid on that? Or do they come in and say, oh, no, I want to clear cut this or I want whatever?
Right. So it's really my job to decide what they're cutting out there. So I go out and I paint the individual trees for removal in some cases. In some cases, I paint the individual trees to stay. It just depends on the type of silviculture we're trying to, the prescription we're trying to have done on the piece of land. So We go out, we mark the trees, we have it on something called a prospectus. The logger can review that prospectus and see what prescription we're putting onto the woodlot. And then they come out and they execute the contract, execute our prescription, mm-hmm. and make sure that it's managed in a way that's suitable for public land, yeah. sustainable for public land.
And then they take the wood and it's gone, and mm-hmm. send the county, you guys, a check.
Yep, absolutely. Then, yep. So yeah. Yep. They you know, put it on the landing. We scale it, which means that we measure how many board feet are on the landing. We send them an invoice, and okay. then they send us a check, and then. You know, once they can get in and fix a road system, they come in and fix the road system, and okay. then we'll basically the contract is executed, and we'll return performance bond if everything looks good.
So when you do that, and this is, by the way, I should clarify too, this is, we're talking about this only on county-owned property, which is really the parks. Is there really other county-owned property besides the park system, or is that really it?
That's really it for us. So those are the lands that are entered into the Wisconsin County Forest System.
Yeah.
There are other county-owned properties that I don't manage myself, you know, such as like the landfill. You know, they have forest land around, but it's not entered into the Wisconsin County Forest System.
Sure, yeah.
So there are examples of it, but I only manage those lands that are entered.
Yeah. So when you do that, the timber sales, are you generally, is it all over the place, but are you generally trying to maximize revenue for the county, or are you trying to do some kind of invasive species management or some kind of hybrid? Are you trying to get foresters interested? Like you said, the pine isn't really worth much now, so you got to give them a few oaks here and there just to get them, or whatever it is, to get them interested, mm-hmm.
Or
is it a mix of everything?
Yeah, it's a big balancing act, right? So, you know, first and foremost is the silviculture. So I have a 15-year comprehensive land use plan that I have to, you know, execute, you know, within those 15 years.
For each parcel or park or every, something.
Yep, so every parcel is included in a single 15-year management plan. So I have an online reporting database that I can go in and I can look at every stand on the whole county forest.
Wow. They,
so I've done recon on all of those stands. They're all up to date. So I can look at them, see what's in them. From a bird's eye view, not walking the woods, and I can see, you know, what the data suggests it needs. Then we go out and ground truth it, you know, once again.
Yeah.
So, So, I'm sorry. What was the question again? The rest of that question?
I was thinking, is it just this kind of the mix of everything? Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, you want a little bit of revenue,
yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
You want a little bit of maybe invasive removal. Yeah. You want to, just so you're mixing kind of all the different.
Yeah, so a very broad mix. So we do try to manage for the maximum yield financially and ecologically. So there's a, you know, a cross section that we have to try to meet, and yeah. that's where the whole discussion of, you know, all the data that I can look at. So we definitely try to maximize both the ecological value and the financial value of that tree before we do any kind of harvesting measures. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And is it fair to say, kind of, since you've got this 15-year plan of looking over everything, you're trying to get a little bit every year? I mean, you wouldn't go in and, you know, do everything all in one time and.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So every stand is going to have kind of a different prescription based on it. Every stand is going to have a different year that it should be harvested.
Yeah.
In some cases, we truly believe that less entries are better. So, say something's scheduled 5 years away from the stand that it's right next to. Well, 5 years in the grand scheme of things for forestry is really a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we'll lump those things together, have one individual sale, one entry. We're lighter on our feet through that kind of measure.
Yeah.
But we're by no means going to go out and cut all 2,000 acres in 1 year.
Right.
So we're, you know, we might cut 100 acres in 1 year, knowing full well that, you know, stand B might not be quite ready, might be 5 years out. Stand A might be ready today. So we try to maximize that by picking a year, essentially. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know occasionally there's, I know like up at the upper campground by Sidey a year, maybe it was last year or 2 years ago, something, there was some oak wilt or something going mm-hmm. through, some disease. And so that necessitates maybe a cutting or something, a timber, mm-hmm. I assume that was a timber sale.
It was, yeah.
That wasn't necessarily on the plan, but well, I mean, there's some disease there and they're going to die anyway or something. So you,
yeah.
And I know.
Yeah.
So that's maybe another reason that we do something. And maybe people like me don't notice it unless it's right next to the campground, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, wow, that looks different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in the middle of the woods, maybe I wouldn't see it. But,
sure. Yeah, so things like that, when disease comes through, there's something called sanitation and salvage cutting, which basically means we're dropping our plans. We're going to go out there and make sure that we cut that in order to put a buffer around a disease outbreak. Oak wilt will graft through the root system, so we want to make sure that we're going to harvest all of the red oak trees in a certain distance away from what we would call like the epicenter of the infection.
Yeah.
Cut it out, sell the timber, and then hopefully save the hillside downhill in this case.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I was going to ask, so the county still gets money for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was a relatively small sale, so we didn't, bring in a ton of money off of that one. But it was enough to cover, putting new turf in, enough to cover, cleaning up all the brush, making the park look nice again, for recreationalists. And, there's a big safety concern on top of that ridge as well with dying 100-year-old oak trees all around tents.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of a bad deal. So we wanted to make sure.
Even campers.
Yeah, absolutely.
An oak tree on a camper is not a good thing either.
No. So yeah, we just wanted to make sure that we're, checking all the boxes, making sure everybody's going to stay safe up there. And then the county would also get a financial return from dead and or dying individual trees. Yeah.
And do you guys have criteria or standards that you use when people come through and do the timber harvesting is happening, as far as what's left? I mean, that it may, just the average person walking by, it may look messy, but there must be some reason for it. Do you guys have standards like that?
Absolutely. So in our contracts, we have to, there is a slash requirement. So slash is the tops that are left after a timber sale, or, any of the residuals, stuff that wasn't merchantable, things that can't go for sale. So we want to make sure that the slash is evenly loped and scattered, is how the contract reads, right? Okay. So it's evenly distributed across the landscape. We don't want them to pile it up, and we definitely don't want them to pile it up along recreational trails, just for visual constraints, and definitely not along town roads. So there are constraints, and it does always look messy after a timber sale. And it's kind of the unfortunate truth of, the whole idea is that it looks messy, but we're doing the right thing. We're trying to do everything we can to make sure that that forest is going to regenerate in the right way. So,
yeah, I don't know if it's the same thing, but I mean, I think about gardening, and there is that whole thing of whatever excess gardening or even yard debris you might have just at home in your town yard or wherever. The more you can keep it on your personal property, the better, because all this energy came out of the ground anyway. It built a tree, it built a flower, it built whatever. And if you just take all that and move it to the landfill, all that nutrients now are sitting in the landfill or the where they take the debris.
Absolutely.
As opposed to leaving it on your land. And it's going to take, a year or 5 years, 10 years, mm-hmm. whatever it is for that thing to decompose. But boy, all that nutrient is now right there where it was.
Yeah.
So is it that same kind of philosophy?
Oh, for sure, yeah. There's a lot of interesting studies about what we call down woody debris.
Yes.
And so down woody debris is very good for all the microorganisms, for fungi,
mushrooms.
Kind of stuff. And it's very important for the woodlot to retain some of those nutrients, right? But it's also, kind of an unsung hero of a timber sale, too. When you put new trim in your house, that trim is sequestering carbon for probably 50, 60 years, right?
Yeah.
So these wood products that we're using every day, they sequester a certain amount of carbon as well, right? So we like to leave, the tops in the woods in most cases.
Yeah.
And we also really like people using wood products because it sequesters carbon, doesn't go into the atmosphere for quite some time, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, talk about maybe invasive species a little bit. I mean, you and I have talked a little bit, and man, I got to say, it is a treat every time I go up to the county offices there. And you might be talking with another landowner, and I just ask if I can listen, or we're talking about something with the parks. I learn so much every time that you're talking. So, so maybe talk a little bit about invasive species management in our county park forests and things, or anybody else's forests too. I mean, they're private ones.
Yeah, for sure. So, unfortunately for us in the southwest portion of Wisconsin, we have to deal with invasive species.
Yeah.
The ones that I deal with most readily are invasive shrub species, being honeysuckle and buckthorn and Japanese barberry. And, the list goes on and on and on. And a lot of these species, you know, they were brought in by public organizations to put in fence lines and fence rows and things like that. So unfortunately, by our own hand in some cases, right? But, you know, it's a really important thing to manage because it shades out the understory, all these invasive shrub species, these woody shrub species. And by shading out the understory, we're actually hindering the growth of not only native, you know, herbaceous layer, you know, being your woodland flowers, things like that, but it's also shading out, you know, our tree species as well, knowing full well that oak in all cases needs a lot of sunlight to thrive. So absolutely, we have to go in and we have to manage it. And there's a lot of different ways to manage it, and it's a conversation probably left for another day on how to manage it. But cutting, sometimes chemical is used, you know, in order to knock back the plant itself. We try to avoid using chemical unless we know that it's actually going to push us in the wrong direction not to use it.
Yeah.
So, yep, it's a big problem that we have nowadays, and I would, you know, entertain any questions that people do have. Absolutely, give my number a call, and we can kind of go through a plan for individual woodlots.
So tell me if this is right. I thought I heard you say the other day that when you go and you see a woodland, a forest somewhere, that you can tell whether it's been previously grazed.
Yeah, so...
I mean, historically, some years, 50 years ago or something.
Right, yeah. So there's some general things that you can look for when entering a woodlot that'll tell you previous use, right? So some of the obvious ones would be stumps, right? It's been harvested, right?
Yeah,
easy
true.
Enough. And then you can look at other things like the invasive species. So we might have a lot of Japanese barberry or a lot of multiflora rose. Right off the bat, I'm going to assume cattle were in the woodland and removed from the woodland, you know, within the last few decades. Now, these are all general rules of thumb. They're by no means all-encompassing. Another thing might be a lot of white birch. For whatever reason, cattle tend to proliferate a lot of white birch through the woodland. So if you have a lot of younger white birch, you know, sub 30-year-old white birch, you know, there's a really good chance that there were cattle in your woodlot. We also use, you know, other things to our advantage. There's a lot of historical aerial photos, right? So when I have an assumption, we always want to go back and check and just to make sure that that assumption might be correct.
Yeah.
So we can, you know, view previous harvesting events, we can review previous pasturing events in some cases, but a lot of times that'll factor into our management, you know, previous use.
And when you talked about the birch and the barberry and things, I mean, not to be crude, but that's because in 20 years ago, cattle might have been eating very young plants of that and then just passing the seeds through and then they grow and the cattle are removed and there they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep, for sure. And freshly disturbed ground, cattle paths, things like that are a hotbed for new plants to grow, especially new invasive species to grow.
Yeah. You know? No, it's when I heard that, and then the other day when you were mentioning it, and I thought about Japanese barberry, and I thought, yeah, where I see it, I know that those were areas that were grazed, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Very
interesting.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep.
Well, I think we are just about out of time, but this has been fantastic. I have learned so much just sitting here talking to you. So,
No, thanks for having me out. I'd like to do it again sometime.
I know.
Lots of stuff to talk about.
I think we got another half an hour to talk about some other time.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much to Nick Gilman, the Vernon County Forest Administrator.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks.